What's the rule of thumb? First three rows or the blessed three rows? So I'm asking you that if you're not in the first three, go ahead and find yourself, squeeze in the first three. That's how we begin our service. We got some front row seats here too. If you want to sit up here, you can. Right here in the front row. Amen. We got some 2 minute laters. We got Demita and Victoria. Let's say hi, Victoria. Hi, Demita. Amen. Amen. Come on in. We are ready to get into God's word. There is a lot to talk about in today's message. A lot to discuss. To understand kingdom of God, to understand what rights that we have. And tonight, our goal is to become a disciple of the living Jesus, one who understands what this authority and power should manifest. Because I'm of this mindset. If it's real, you ought to be able to measure it. If it's real, you ought to be able to measure it. What does that mean? If you say you give me $1,000, I ought to be able to count out $1,000. If I count out $120, somebody lying. Amen? If you say it's real, I ought to measure. If you say you caught a fish 7 feet tall, then somebody besides you should have seen that fish 7 feet tall. There are things in the kingdom of God that require your observance, that you experience it yourself. My desire is that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That every man, you go over to this church, they believe this. You run over to that church, this is what they believe about the Holy Ghost. Over here, the Holy Ghost is gone. It's finished when the Bible was completed. Over here, the Holy Ghost is only given to special people. Over here, the Holy Ghost, you can't know him, blah, 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 blah. And you can go all over the place and never get a straight answer about what God can really do in your life. Well, here's what we always say. If it ain't in the Bible, let it go. But if it's in the Bible, eat all of it. All right? You got to have it all. And so today, I want to find out how many of you are in the kingdom of God. I need to kind of get a hands up. How many are in the kingdom of God right now, that you are positive you're in the kingdom? Raise your hand. Okay, we got three that are not positive. Keep your hands up. Okay, all right. So those who raise your hand, how do you know you're in the kingdom? How do you know? Hold on, we got a microphone. Go ahead.
The Bible tells me so because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
So why does that make you in the kingdom and not just a candidate for heaven?
Because Jesus shed the blood for me.
Okay, to do what?
And died.
To do what?
To give me the resurrection power that he
to go to heaven.
That's right.
Right, so this is, you're talking about going to heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay, heaven is one thing. What is kingdom? What's the difference? If heaven's one thing, what's the kingdom of God? She wants to get rid of that mic. You're like, take the mic. What's the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? Somebody raise your hand if you know. I see somebody's hand back here. What's the kingdom of God?
Righteousness, peace, and joy. In love with Jesus more and more each day.
Okay. So it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that another heaven thing?
No, it's my delight to follow Jesus.
So the kingdom of God is having righteousness,
peace
and joy.
And joy.
And those three ought to be straight.
That's part of the fruit of the Spirit.
So as long as Jesus saves me, as long as I have joy, as long as I have peace, you know I'm walking in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I may have trouble, but I have the peace of God that passes all understanding.
All right. So how many agree that if you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's proof that you walk in the kingdom? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one, one and a half. I love these forward hands. Not too committed. How many don't believe it? That's what it is. One, two, three, four, five. How many don't know? Okay, most of you. Okay, so we have to really understand, what does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? Is it simply a feeling of righteousness, peace, and joy? I feel good. Or is it more than that? Okay, let's start back here, then we're going to do right here, and then over here, and then here. What is it?
It's citizenship. It's, how do I explain? It's like the kingdom of the United States. It's where, okay, how do I put this? Who we are under.
Okay, all right.
It's our citizenship of the kingdom. And in that kingdom, it's how we think, we act, and like she said, with a peace and joy like that. But we are citizenship. That is part of our citizenship
okay.
with God.
All right. Somebody else? Next person. Who do we have for the next person? Okay, over here. Over here.
I kind of like what Pat said when we accept Jesus into our life as our Lord and Savior. And don't ask me the specific scripture, but there's a scripture that says, for the kingdom of God is with you. And I think that was saying that it's in you. It's the kingdom of God is a kingdom-minded type thing. Not, do anybody know what I'm saying? But there's a scripture in the Bible. It says, for the kingdom of God is with you.
That's too easy. That's too easy. I know the other Bible verse that says, give the preachers all your money now. That's in the Bible right now, right?
But to me, when they were saying this, if you have hope, peace, love, all that is within you if you have Jesus Christ, because we find our rest in him. So,
okay. Somebody else? Y'all, go ahead.
All right. Heaven is where God lives. And that is to be our home once we, you know, pass away and come to the judgment, final judgment. That's where we'll live. The kingdom of God is similar to being a citizen of the United States. Some people are. It's when you are a citizen or those who are becoming a citizen. They denounce where they come from, and they say they want to be a part of the U.S., so they have to make an oath and all of these things. They have to go through criteria, and once they complete that criteria, they are now citizens, which gives them rights and privileges of that I guess you would say, of that kingdom. Now they are up under the president, which is right now, you know, Trump. And so when you compare that spiritually, you denounce where you come from, which is you were a part of a sinful nature. And so now you take on, you know, God's nature when you accept him as your savior. And now you become a part of, you become a citizen of the of heaven, of the kingdom of God. So all the things that God promises his children, you have the rights and the privileges to. It's just learning what you need to do in order to access those rights and those privileges.
Okay. Somebody else. Somebody else over here. How do you know you're in the kingdom of God?
basically, like, is it like 1 Timothy, when you call to work the work, you call to serve?
I mean, you could be called to serve the army. You could be called to serve in a tornado.
But we're not talking about the army.
But you talk, I'm sorry, say it again. Oh, heaven. So heaven, just because you are called to serve heaven, that's the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah. Pulling up a verse might be good. Anyone else? How do you know you're in the kingdom of God? How do you know that you are presently walking in the kingdom?
Well, the kingdom that you belong to, it's the king you serve. So if Jesus is your king and you're serving your king, then you'd be in his kingdom.
Okay. That's true. What did we learn last week that is an evidence of someone in the kingdom?
Being a child of a king.
What? No, don't yell out. Let's hear the microphone over here. What did we learn last week?
That we're given authority.
No. What did we learn last week?
Kingdom thinking.
No. What did we learn last week? We got two down here. Go here and then here.
That we have an inheritance language.
There we go. You have an inheritance language. Please write that down. Now, what that means is I can always tell when a person believes of the Bible, but they don't believe in their inheritance. You could tell, they're night and day. When it comes to trouble, they're like, well, we could just pray about it. We just have to hope God will do it. Then do you understand who you are? Do you know who your daddy is? And does your daddy have enough to fix this problem? When a person knows that I am a daughter of the king, I am a son of the king, there is an inheritance language that you talk. You don't talk all that negative stuff because it doesn't relate to your inheritance. You don't gossip all that gossipy stuff because it doesn't relate to your inheritance. Sickness is not something you're afraid of. Death is not something you're afraid of. Financial problems are not something you are afraid of. Why? Because you are speaking inheritance language, meaning I know who I am. Who are you guys? Let me hear that again. Who are you guys? Stop right there. I heard, what'd you say? No. Somebody else. A child of the king. Say it again. Say it again. You must totally get over yourself. What do you mean by that, Pastor Steve? Well, I'm trying to be humble. And I'm trying to be meek and mild. And I am just a lowly servant of the living God. I'm a noble. You better quit talking like that. First of all, the Bible says, don't you know you were made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ? So then who are you to say, I'm not righteous? Who told you that? Who in the world would tell you, well, that's being humble. And the Bible says, no, there is none righteous. No, not one. Would you please read that in context? He's talking about before you come to Christ. But after you come to Christ, he is your righteousness. So then you don't go, I'm a nobody and I'm unrighteous. I'm like stinking rags. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine Jesus saying, really? After I did all that on Calvary's cross, that's what you are. No, ladies and gentlemen, when you have kingdom language, inheritance language, you don't tell yourself who you are not. You have to spend more of your time telling yourself who you are. That's the biggest problem in this room. Most of us spend most of our time telling us who we are not. But let me just see. How many of you spend most of your time telling yourselves who you are? Raise your hand. Ed, you think you do that? Okay, we got one. How many spend most of your time usually telling yourself what you're not? 50-50. Ain't no 50-50, baby. Ain't no 50-50. That's most of us. You know, who am I? Well, that's the preacher. He's the teacher. That's the prophet. That's the this. That's Jesus. I ain't Jesus. What are you talking about me? Don't come looking at me. Ask him to pray for you. Ask that. What you don't realize is that you are pushing off who you are. You're telling yourself, I'm not good enough. You know, someone's really, really sick. Call the pastor. You just told yourself you couldn't do it. You just told yourself you're not good enough to pray that prayer. No, you have to understand the mindset of a daughter or a son of the living King. They walk upright. They know who they are. I mean, and they don't worry. Say that again, please. Say it again, please. Say it again, please. Who said that? No. They don't what? Worry. They don't. What are you saying? Oh, boy, stop. I keep hearing all this off language. I'm like, what? Someone speaking in tongues? They don't worry. What the? Don't worry. What the? They don't worry. There's a sense of calmness about them, a sense of confidence in who they are. Because even though fear can come, faith is the antidote. And yet, at the same time, they're confident. They don't worry. All right, so let's walk. We've got to do what we call a midrash. We've got to go back through the word because you've got to look at this word. I need you to open up your Bibles, and I want you to turn in the text to go to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 29. 6 and 29. Very important that we take a minute and discover, really, guys, who we are so that we're not always waiting. You know, the power comes to those who know who they are, not just say who they are, but know who they are. All right, now look at this verse. We need to straighten it. I need someone to look at the screen, please. Before we get started. Amen. Please have that adjusted for me. No, that's not right. Okay. Try that again. All right, here we go. Someone read it for me. Go.
If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also.
Hold on. Is that symbolic or literal? How many believe it's symbolic? I mean, put your hands up like you mean it. Don't be. Put them up. That is symbolic. How many believe that's literal? How many don't know? You can't put your hand up twice. Here's the truth. Y'all, this ain't no. Y'all thought this was easy. This is real. This ain't no joke. How many times did Jesus get slapped? He got slapped when he went down, when he was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane and went into the Sanhedrin, and they accused him of some things. Some man walked by that man, whap, slapped him right in the face. He didn't even say a word. Then they took him in a room with over 600 soldiers, and they beat him across the face, and he never fought back. So was that symbolic or literal? Guys, we don't like this verse because it requires self-control. What does it take for you to have self-control? You better know who you are. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what Pilate said. Boy, he said to Jesus, boy, don't you know who I am? At any moment, I can release you out of here. And Jesus looked at him and said, no, you can't. He says, my father has a legion of angels, and if I called on them right now, they'd release me up out of here. He says, you ain't got no part in this matter, bro. He says, as much as you think you got authority, you ain't got nothing on me. I'm going through this like a lamb led to a slaughter. He uttered not a mumbling word. So kingdom means you've got more inside to say than you do on the outside. Please write that down. You've got more inside to say than you do on the outside. You're not going to be so quick to respond to people that talk about you, hurt you. You know, sometimes what I've learned is when people do stuff like that, I laugh. I have to laugh at it. I'm like, here it goes again. Because all the enemy can do is talk. Yabba, 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 yabba. That's all he can do. He can't stop me. He can't kick me. He can't halt me. But he can sure talk me to death. Talk, talk, talk. Some of us, if we're personally wounded by somebody, that's going to be hard. But that's why I need you to get kingdom-minded. Because you got to understand who you are. Now look at this. It says, if someone demands your coat, what should you do? Is that literal or symbolic? How many would literally do that? Right there. See, them hands still way down here. I don't believe none of y'all. Yeah, I'd do it. No, you won't. No, you won't. He said, if somebody came and stole your car, would you give them the CDs that you took into the house? Hey, man, these CDs go in the car. Would you do it? No, you wouldn't do it. You'd be like, do-do-do-do-do, 911, how may I help you? Let me tell you why this is so powerful. This isn't the weakness that we've read of Christians just letting people walk over. This is the total reliance that you got so much power in you, God will always stand for you. Look at the next verse. Read. Uh-huh. Ooh. Someone steals your nice 55-inch TV. Someone steals your wallet, your new cell phone. Someone steals your macaroni and cheese. That's fighting words right there, baby. What are you going to do? You going to run them down, knock the cheese out the mouth? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? No, the Bible tells you what to do. If someone takes something from you, let them have it. And when they take it, don't try to get it back. Why? Who are you? 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 Now that you recognize who you are, you must answer these questions with that in mind. If you keep the same old mind you always have, you'll never come to the conclusion. So I ask you again, give to everyone that asks, why? What now? Okay, good. Why else? What? You have it to give. Why else? Give to everyone who asks. Why? What? Say it again.
It'll be given back to you.
Because it'll be given back to you. Good. Why? Why else? Yeah, we know you're a child of the king. But why? Because being a child of the king, you can give to anyone who asks you. Think like a king's child. Huh?
Because the Bible says so.
Yes, it does. Somebody else, go ahead.
Because the more we give, he gives.
Okay. Why else? Same measure. What does that mean? Mike?
A lot, then he can give to you a lot.
Okay, why?
Because it's in the Bible.
Would you guys stop telling me that? That's a default answer. that's a default answer. No, I'm going to be real with you. That's a default answer. Because it doesn't require any thinking at all. I want you to understand why. Go ahead. What do you think?
Okay. Because we are a child of God. And it also says our Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it. And why not give? He's generous. And if we're his child, we'll also be generous.
Exactly. When you're a king's kid, you operate like a king. That's whether you're living in Manhattan, whether you're living in an alleyway, or whether you live in the hood or the barrio or Southern California. It doesn't matter. It's the moment you capture who you are. When you recognize, I'm a king's kid, so giving isn't about not having. Gosh, I got to catch that. When I give, it's not about not having. It's about I'm about to get more. Because he's got to replace. Well, gee, what do I always pray at when we're at the dinner table, at when we go out to eat? Someone get her a microphone. This is what I pray. People look at me crazy when I pray it.
You will pray for the food and say, Lord, bless the food and replenish the money that was spent for it.
Booyah. I don't even waste any time. I go, God, I appreciate it. I said, bless the food, but replenish the money we used to pay for it. Why? Why? Why would I do that? Because I'm a child of the king. Yes. But why as a child of the king would I do that? Ding. Yes, that's right. 2 out of 3. I have an inheritance language. But why do I say that? What do I understand? I can't hear you. Somebody with a mic. Raise your hand if you want to say something. Over here. Why do I say that?
Like you were saying last week that even if you don't have any money in the bank, you know that you're rich because you know that God has all the money.
All the money. He has everything I need. So first of all, the Bible's, okay, now we're about to get to the reason why I can pray this prayer. Read the next verse. Go. Okay, so you can actually determine how people can treat you. Do to others like you want to be treated. You go in a room and you're all uncomfortable, how are people going to treat you? But if you go in a room, sometimes I go in a place and we went to Dave's and Buster's, the choir, and we walked up in there, the choir, and I don't care where I go. I'd like to turn the lights on. You know what I mean? Everybody sitting at their table, everybody eating their own food. And man, when they started singing Happy Birthday, man, I broke out my fork and spoon. Happy. And the choir started singing, and everybody like, yeah, ah, ah, and the whole place is going crazy. Why? Because I light up a room. Why? Because I do to people what I want them to do to me. I like to see them smile. I like to see them laugh. I like to see them be happy. I would love for someone to sing to me. But anyway. I love that. Happy birthday. No. The point is that we are to do to others. That's a kingdom mind. Remember, you sow what you reap? So what you do will determine what you get back from other people. If you're stingy, you'll always be lacking money. And if you're rich and stingy, you'll always be unhappy. And the day you die, there'll be some poor people very happy. Because God's going to give all your stuff away. Next verse, watch this. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. The mafia loves each other. But if you don't learn as a kingdom person to love people who don't love you and can't love you back, you'll never see how the work, how the rewards are divvied out. If I only give to those who give me money back, then I've already received my reward. But if I give to those who cannot give to me back, then my reward must come from heaven. I'm looking for something bigger. You know, whenever I give money out at this church, I never give out money expecting to see it again. Now, some people bring it back, and some don't. And the ones who are convicted that they thought they had to give it back, they don't come back no more. Because the guilt says, man, I took this money and I told them I'd bring it back, and I didn't. So most times I tell people, hey, just take it. Because I give without hopes to receive again. I'm not getting credit from you. I'm getting credit from my King. Look at verse 33. Here's where it kicks in. Everyone, read. All right, could you then go to Luke 6? You seem to be in 5. I wondered why we were having a problem. Luke chapter 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. It's my fault. Sorry. Matthew 6, 29. That was some good reading, though. That was good reading. Totally butchered it, but. Go back to 28. Here we go. Now I want you. let's all read this together. And why worry about your. Okay, so he tells you to stop worrying. See, kingdom-mindedness means you have to stop worrying. And he gives you an illustration. I want you to stop for a second. I want you to look at the lilies in the field. I want you to see how they grow. They don't work for their color. They don't paint themselves up with mascara. And he says, nor do they make their own clothing. Okay? 29. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautiful. In other words, the flowers on the ground could not match the wardrobe arrangement of God. What do they call those people that decorate? When they put designers. Right? God is a clothing designer. Solomon tried to do his own and didn't even match what God could do on a plant. And God has said, I can dress good. What happened to my mic? I can dress up a flower pretty good. Look at verse 30. Read. Do you see what happens when we worry that he would not care for us? What is it called? Lack of faith. Little faith. Little faith. Little faith. Meaning, as a kingdom-minded person, and the kingdom of God is in us, we are saying to God, you are not omnipotent. You are impotent. You, God, cannot supply my needs. Therefore, I have something to worry about. Could you imagine telling God that? God, you ain't got it, bro. You ain't strong enough for me. You make me nervous. Woo! Kingdom kids don't behave like that. They know who they are on the inside. He says, and it all goes back to this. Why do you have so little faith. Okay, let's stop there for a second. How do you get faith? How do you get faith? Can I get a mic? Someone raise a hand. How do you get faith?
Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes. So a person who's lacking faith must hear the word of God. Can we make it any simpler? If you're lacking faith in any area of your life, it's so simple. Then get the word of God and let it become the antidote to your fear. That's it. The antidote to what you're worried about. The antidote to what you're concerned about. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you, when you walk out of here, you leave spiritual things to God and practical things to yourself. And you don't understand that the spiritual trumps the natural all the time. It's almost like you're cheating yourself out of God being able to show up in your practical life. Well, you know, God's good. He's good. You know, I trust him with all my heart. You know, God's going to make a way. And yet you're struggling. Why don't you declare who you are and let God perform it? Why worry about whether or not you'll look silly? Do it anyway. You're going to be starving anyway. Might as well starve and look funny. Some people are like, what? Just do it. Okay? Look at the next verse. Watch this. Now, everyone read this, please. What does God say? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? Everyone look at me, please. What were we talking about? Getting some platinum in our knees? I was like, I want some platinum knees.
Okay. For God supplying our needs. That's
what needs? No. What are we just finished talking about? Huh? No. What? Clothes. Clothes. We ain't getting no further than clothes. How many have gone in your closet and said, I need new clothes? How many have done that? Come on, don't lie to the devil. Don't lie to the devil. How many wives looked at their husband's clothes and said, he needs new clothes? Don't you raise your hand. See, the thing is, he's saying, we were just talking about what we're going to wear. In other words, man, winter's coming. I need some warm blankets. I need shoes. I need socks. I don't have money to put, man, school's about to begin with my kids. I don't have what they need. They need a uniform. They need this. They need that. These are the things we're talking about that are so practical. He says, so don't worry about these things. Saying, that's what we say in our thoughts. What will we what? What will we what? What will we what? Three areas of your life. Eating, drinking, and what are you going to wear? Huh? Yeah. Men is the big one. It's the first one for men. Man, when's dinner? What you going to eat? It's like, oh man, every day, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to drink today? What will I wear today? And if you've never been in a situation where you needed God to answer that, God bless you. But I've been there where I'm like, what am I going to eat today? I got no food. What am I going to drink today? I don't even have water. Man, I don't even have clothes to wear. And God had to take me to a point where I had none of that in order to trust that he will give me all of that. Because he says, when you worry about that kind of stuff, you ain't got faith. Can you imagine that? How mean is that? What if I just took every dollar out of your bank account? You had no way to pay for tomorrow. Can we do that experiment? Let's do that. Everybody, write me a check for everything in your bank account. I mean, every dollar, every dime, CD, inheritance, just write it to Steve Yates, care of Frontier Church, okay? And then live off by faith while I'm off in the Bahamas. No. See, most of us, we always have a buffer. We have something that we can rest on. We got something in the bank. But the reality is there may come a day in your life where you don't have anything. When will your faith activate? It needs to be alive at all times because you don't know how bad it's going to get. You don't know when you're going to lose your car. You don't know when someone gets sick. You've got to be kingdom-minded at all times. What's the kingdom mindset? Habba labba, what? What's the king of mindset? No, that's Ed. Thank you. Well, somebody, come on, can we? All right, let's say it five times. I'm a child of the king. Go. Good. Now, when you face your situation, that should be the first thing out of your mouth. Then you think like a child of the king. What would a king's child think like? Would you begin to complain about the lack that, or how your king has allowed you to suffer this way? Would you do that? Or what would you do? Thinking as a king's kid. And what does that look like? Yeah, what does that mean? Walk in authority.
Knowing who I am, and knowing who he is in me.
Okay.
Knowing and believing in his word, his promises, and he says that if I ask, he will do.
Okay, so what does that look like as a king's kid? What would you really do?
I would really walk in authority.
Okay.
I would speak it, declare it, believe.
Because you have the authority as a king's kid to make it happen. Yeah, so you just, boom, hey, listen, I'm running low on so-and-so, so I declare such and such to happen, and it comes into fruition.
Well, I start praising him.
Okay. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, how many times have you actually done that? I want you to think about that. How many times have you actually started, when you see lack, start declaring, Lord, I thank you right now. This whole cupboard's going to be full. I thank you for this going to be this, and this bank account's going to be that. God, I praise you right now. And every time you look at it again and the little twins of fear come in, antidote, faith, boom. God, I thank you once again that you're going to do so-and-so, so-and-so. He can't ignore you. There's no way for him, because you know how many people on the earth are doing it? So little. So when someone spikes, what I call a faith spike, he notices. They rise above the horizon. That's what you want to be like. When I pray, David, you know, when I pray, I'll tell you how I really got a good prayer life. I read the book of Psalms, and I started reading how David talked to God. I'm like, you mean you can talk to God like that? You can say, Lord, you know, destroy my enemies. God, I'm dying. I'm like a deer that's thirsting, panting after water. That's how I feel coming after you. And I'm like, you can talk to God like that? So I was like, I started throwing that stuff in my prayer. God, I'm like an opossum stuck up in a tree. I'm holding on with my tail, but the gravity's getting a hold of me, God. You got to get me out of here. You know, I know he ain't never heard that prayer before. Then all of a sudden, everything breaks loose. You're like, now someone just prayed an opossum prayer. We got to give it to him. I learned if David figured it out, man, I'll use it. I learned through Psalms how to talk to God with some boldness and confidence as a king's kid. That, hey, yeah, God, hey, listen, my enemy's coming up against me, but God, just me and you, we could take him out. God, I don't even have to turn around, God. Lord, what I want you to do, I want you to set a table before me right in their face. Let them see me eat while they're trying to kill me, and then set a table in front of my enemies. Let me get fat and happy and have leftovers on the table while they talk about me, God. Do it. Ain't that what he said? He says, thou preparest a table for my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, and my what? Cup runs over. I said, God, let my oil in my cup run over, that when my enemies try to run up on me, they slip on the floor and hit the table. Come on, God. You better learn how to talk. That's a king's kid. Now, it may sound crazy, may sound silly, but you know what? He heard my prayer. I get stuff happens because I don't care how it look. I'll be a fool for God. I'll say crazy stuff because I'm like, man, I want to be different. I want to be like that masses of people going to hell telling God what he can't do. I want to spend the rest of my life telling God what he can do. Amen. I don't want to be in that group that's over there talking about, you know, he's able, but not for me. Y'all get away from me. Because if I'm drowning and I pray for help and I see that helicopter, I'm taking it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all are like, I don't know what you're talking about. There's that old story where a man was drowning and he said, Lord, I need you to send help and save me. And a helicopter came by. He says, hey, here, grab the rope. He says, no, I'm waiting on God. And he says, God, I need you to save me. And then a boat comes on by and the guy says, here, catch the rope. He goes, no, I'm waiting on God. And then he goes, God, I'm waiting on you to save me. And a submarine pops up out of the water and says, you want to get in? No, I'm waiting on God. Well, of course, the man drowns. He goes to heaven and he goes, God, why don't you save me? He said, bro, I sent you a helicopter, a boat, and a submarine. You better know when God gets you a way out, you ain't got to ask me twice. I'm outie, baby. Deuces. I'm gone. Okay? I don't care. I always say this to people, I don't care how it happens, just as long as it happens. That takes a whole load off of my shoulders. Can you adopt that idea? Because sometimes we want things to happen the way we want them to happen, and they're not going to happen that way because it's too much like human mind. It's got to happen like a God thing. And you'll never put it together. So just say, Lord, I don't care how it happens, as long as you make it happen. And then when you're like that in your mindset, anything can happen. Anything will break open. I mean, anything. But you've got to have that mindset. He says, don't worry about these things, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. And this is why. Verse 32. Read. Stop right there. These things, what? Dominate. Ooh, woo. These things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we talking about here? Thoughts. That's what we're talking about, not reality. We're not talking about what God will do, what he can't do. We're not talking about any of those things of whether God's strong enough or not strong enough. We're only dealing with what's happening in your cranium. Because what's happening in your cranium is keeping it from becoming a reality. Faith makes the unseen seen. Remember that. Write that down. Faith makes the unseen seen. In other words, we know God is in the unseen, but when we have faith in him, he manifests in the seen world. Faith makes the unseen seen, but when we worry and we have unbelief, That dominates your mind. How many have ever been at a point where everyone's got their issue? Bills dominate your mind. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Bills. Okay. Health issues. Friend issues. Kids. Bad breath. I'm not even going to say who raised their hand. Amen. See, you can, when you are like a Gentile, why is it that these thoughts dominate unbelievers? You tell me. Raise your hand, though. Why do they dominate people who don't believe in God? Raise your hand.
Because they're not a child of the King.
Okay, what does that mean? Let's break it down. Break it into practical terms. Why does those people who are unbelievers, why does these things dominate their mind? Down here, over here, then over here, and then over here.
They don't have that blessed assurance. They don't have that faith. They don't have the assurance and knowing that God is still in control. They're in the dark. They're not in the light. They don't understand things of the light. They're in the dark, and they're just trying to survive off their own strength, off their own power.
Okay.
Within themselves.
Okay. Over here. And then come down.
Because they're full of fear.
Because they're full of
faith. They're full of fear.
Well, like it says, these thoughts dominate, the worry about what they're going to eat, drink, and wear. That definitely means they're full of fear. Somebody else. Here and here. Red mic. Come on, guys.
They don't have a father to take care of them.
Good. Good. What over?
And because of that, they don't have a father to take care of them. They have to trust themselves and believe in their own might, their own getting, their own acquiring what they can do.
Okay, good, good, good. Now, I want to do an experiment here. Think about something you want that right now you cannot have in your mind. And then I want you to say how you're going to go get it. Now. And you're walking out of here now. How are you going to go get it? Just an experiment. How are you going to get it? Okay, now, when you thought about that thing, did it make you nervous? Anybody feel a little nervous, anxious? Okay. You're like, wait, how am I going to do it? Okay. All right. Let me ask another question. Ed, you have to make this church a multicultural church and make it one of the largest in Central Florida. Okay. How are you going to make it happen? Hold on.
I'm going to pray to the Lord and tell him, have the Holy Spirit go to work for me, because he's the one that's going to bring the people to Christ.
Okay, so in his mind, he just totally deflected responsibility. And he put that responsibility where? Upon God, right? But when a Gentile is faced with a financial crisis, they don't have a God to put that on. That's why they go crazy, stress. That's why psychologists are like ruining people. Because they're like, when you worry, pop the pill. When you worry, pop the pill. Hear everybody? Pop the pill. Pop the pill. Pop the pill. When you're afraid, pop the pill. When you're hungry, pop the pill. When you're thirsty, pop the pill. When you need clothes, pop the pill. That's what they do. It's really what Shanita the pharmacist, pop the pill. Yeah. What they do is all we want to do is calm you down. Let me just calm you down because it ain't helping your situation, but we can calm you down. What they need is Jesus. Then they can get what they're p- popping the pills for? Right? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But look at this. But your heavenly God already knows all your needs. No, y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. This was it. Read it again. Did he call you God? Did it say God? What did it say?
Father.
What does it say?
Father.
Why?
Already know.
Say it, please. Say it again. If you're a child, that means there's a father. This is relational. This ain't based on how good you are. You are his son. You are his daughter. That's enough. That's enough. It's not, many of us judge ourselves, well, I don't know enough. I haven't been here. I'm not good enough. Listen, the fact that you were born into royalty is enough. Come on, somebody. When you look in the old times, if you were, you could have been a nutcase. But if you were born in royalty, they had to bow down to royalty. It didn't matter whether you were smart, whether you looked good. I mean, you can be the ugliest joke in the world, and people coming running after to marry you. Why? Because they royalty. I want to get up in the world. I want me one of them king's kids. It's the way out. It doesn't matter your personal circumstance. It matters that you're royalty. This, again, is inheritance thinking. Guys, I have a very vivid imagination, and I love reading about knights swords and people fighting in the old days and kings and queens. I love that kind of stuff because in my mind, I get it. See, we're in a kingdom, but we're more than just kings and queens. We're sons and daughters. That's even a level deeper. That means whatever you need, your father already, watch this, these things dominate the thoughts of the unbeliever, but there's a caveat for you. What is it?
Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs.
Say it again.
Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs.
What does that mean? Okay, Daddy knows your needs. Father knows best. Any other TV shows? Tell me, break this down. What does that verse mean for you and I? The thing, watch this. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Others dominate, that dominates their thoughts. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. What does that mean to you and I? Hand up over here. Hand up over here.
So before we even ask, before we even think about what we need, God already knows what we need. And all we have to do is open up our mouth and ask our Father, and he'll give to us what we have need of.
Over here.
I was going to say almost the same thing.
Okay. See, it's a matter of perspective. You see, God, even before you opened your mouth and got to the place of need, had already been counting what you needed. He already knew, well, you're almost out. He already knew your boss is about to fire you. He knew that the IRS was coming. And he already knows your what? Not some of them. All of them. So if your daddy knows all your needs, how do you react to that? How? Okay, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And if the king knows all your needs before you ask, how do you react to that? What? Thank you. That's why the Bible says, be anxious in nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, he'll give you the answer in your heart before you see the answer in your life. Amen. He'll send the peace of the answer into your heart. And you're like, oh, it's all good. It's all good. See, this is the truth, guys, is that when you know your daddy has everything organized already, all you have to do is say what? Thank you. Thank you. Man, when I hit tough times, first thing out of my mouth, Lord, thank you. I appreciate that you have the answer ready to go because I don't see it. I'm real with it. I don't see it. I don't smell it. I can't even tell it. I said, but God, I thank you that you're my Father. And you already thought this one out. So let me give you praise in advance and tell you thank you in advance. And I go about my business. And sure enough, poof, it pops up in front of me. Why? Because that's my Father. I have a relationship with him. He's never let me down. Ladies and gentlemen, don't act like people who are worshiping idols and gods made of hands and clay, of Buddha statues and dirt and clay monsters. No. You have a living God who controls the resources of the world, and he knows everything that you might need before you ask, how in the world did you get here today? I want you to think about the hardest times in your life, and you still made it. He still got you here? You're here today. Why? Because the Father knew what you needed. He knew what you needed before you even asked. Now, this is very important. A kingdom-minded person understands that the kingdom of God is in them. And so, therefore, the Father already knows the things you have need of before you even ask. Okay? It's already in you. It's like a baby. Have you ever seen that baby? What's the baby's name? Annabelle. Annabelle does not worry. Would you hold Annabelle up so everyone can see the epitome of the kingdom of God? This is the epitome of the kingdom of God right here. Annabelle. Why? Annabelle doesn't know how to worry. All she knows to do is cry when she wants something. And what is the expectation when she cries? Somebody gonna bring her something. You know what I'm saying? There is no doubt. Listen, there is no doubt in this baby's mind that if I go, somebody coming. There is no worry about tomorrow. Man, I wonder if I'm going to have any of that oatmeal and them peas tomorrow. Oh, I like them peas. I wonder if mama went to the store and got any of them peas. Oh, and whatever that orange stuff is, it's really tasty. Oh, I hope she got it. I hope that baby ain't thinking about that. That baby like, and then mama get up, get the peas and the greens. here you go. And feeds her until she's fat and happy. Ain't that truth? This is exactly how fathers act too. We hear our child crying. It ain't just the women. Y'all see my son Dustin, right? You know, nice, tall, good-looking young man. That was a fat, fat baby. He was just, I could have bowled with that baby. He was so fat, when he leaned, he just went, dum. That's all he did. He was so big. And you couldn't tell me my baby was fat. I thought I had the skinniest baby on the planet. Like, oh, look at the baby. Ooh, his little look how cute and fluffy he is. I said, he ain't fluffy. That baby's thin. He got muscles. That baby was fat. It took about 2 years, and we started looking back at the pictures like, oh, my God. We should have been in jail, you know. It's like, but here's what was happening. Every time that boy cried, his father got up. Fed that baby and just tell him, shh, don't cry. Shh, no more crying. And before long, we both asleep. And then go back to bed. And when he cried again, I came right back out of that sleep. Why? Because I already had bottles prepared. Y'all just missed that, didn't you? I had the mix already in the mix, waiting for the cry. Oh, y'all don't miss that. I had it sitting there. All I needed to do was Mr. Microwave. And when I pulled that thing out to heat it up a bit, nice warm melt, that baby went back to sleep. Because he knew his father knew the things he had need of before he even asked. He had no worries about daddy. No worries. That baby Annabelle has no worries about being fed. Ladies and gentlemen, except you be like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can we just lay it out right there? Except you be like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to have an expectation that what you're asking for is already prepared in your spiritual refrigerator. And some of y'all might be lactose intolerant. He already took care of that. He knows all your quirks and everything. He will provide for you. When you understand who you are, you will have to mature and begin to show other people how much he is on your side. But you've got to start with this. Who are you? 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 Now, when you start your problem and looking at your issue, this is all I want you to do, is to tell yourself, first of all, who are you? Because this determines everything. Everything. I want to stop right here. Next week, when we get into this, I want to teach you about the finger of God. How there are evidences that will tell you that the kingdom of God is in you. One is the ability to dominate spirits. To dominate them. Two is to heal the sick. These are two clues that you have the kingdom of God inside of you. Okay? Those you must understand, healing, miracles, and are the two types of things that everybody with the kingdom spirit must be able to operate in. That means all of you. All of you. Okay? It's not about being a preacher. It's about being what? A what?
A
what?
A
what? So when a person comes and tries to make you afraid, a bill collector calls and tries to make you afraid, people come along and threaten you, people come and do stupid stuff, things are happening in the world, you have to look through the lens of who you are, not who the world says you are. Amen. The world can't tell you who you are, only God can. And God says you're his kid, and he is your father, and he will answer the cry before you even open up your mouth. Okay? All right. Any questions about what you learned tonight, or any questions about the Bible at all? Anybody have any Bible questions at all?